You know what? I say this today, but my topic of my sermon this morning is, it's time to renovate the church. It's time. And I'm going to be over from 2 Chronicles 29, 6, and 12. I want you to bear with me this morning. Time to renovate the church. I'll get to the scripture here in a little bit. I want to have a word of prayer that I'll get started on the sermon. But let's all bow our heads, please. Father, as we come, Lord, to you this morning, we come with nothing but thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I come with praise in my heart this morning for you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just take this humble servant this morning, Lord. I pray that you would use me in a way to be pleasing unto you, Lord. I pray, Father, that the hearts and the minds of your word, I pray, Father, that it would touch where it needs to touch. I pray that it would hit where it needs to hit, Lord. And, Father, we just praise you. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor that you so rightly deserve. And we do this all in your Son Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. We're looking at the story of Hezekiah this morning. Can we not see the similarities between the story? Down to that here, but I'm going to be, like I said, I'm over in 2 Chronicles 29 chapter. You know what? I believe that it's apparent what Hezekiah in the churches today, what Hezekiah was trying to get across here, what Hezekiah was trying to say, I believe could hit home to the church world today. You know what? If we are going to renovate the church, listen, folks, we must repair what is broken. Amen? We must realize what is being neglected. Or else, we must restore what is missing. If the church is going to be what it needs to be, this is what needs to take place. There could be countless plans. There can be countless programs, models implemented. You know what? In churches across this world today, we see it all. With all them trying to revitalize the church, all of this, I read article after article. I see topic after topic on the next big gimmick on what it's going to take to revitalize it. Going to be, we need program, we need this. But you know what? I believe with all that's in me this morning, with all that Dave Long can preach here this morning, you know what? The church doesn't need any new programs. But the church needs to return to that. The church will be revitalized. It's not mean the filling up to the building of the church to where it's overflowing. That's not what I'm talking about. We could compromise and change everything we do. We could seek to please the people. I could give you a feel-good speech every week if that's what the people wanted. We could have tons of activities and events to get people's attention. It wouldn't even be enough. We would, and it would have zero impact for the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God and His Son, Jesus Christ, are not in it and are not at the center of everything we do, no matter what the church does, it cannot be done at the expense of the gospel. Amen? It cannot be. This was posted on Facebook. I read the article that was posted. It was about a church in Tennessee. This is an absolute true story, folks. And it makes my heart sad whenever I read it. But I was reading it as I was studying. A church that closed its doors, and the congregation decided to merge with another church. A real estate investor had bought the church that had closed with plans to build a retail store at the site. That's what they were going to do. About the time of construction, the construction crew was to bulldoze this church down. There was outrage from the people of the church who were once faithful, who were members of the church. They were devastated and angry because their church was closed and the building was being destroyed. They were absolutely devastated. They were angry. They were mad because of what was going on. They began to run the pastor in the ground. And all this played out on Facebook. All of it. Number one, that it had played out on Facebook. What Satan did, he was sitting in the back just laughing his head off. He was just sitting back there laughing his head off. These people lost their right to complain. You can either agree with me or not. When they abandoned the church and didn't come, they lost every right to complain about what was going on in that church whenever they did that. Amen? If they would have stayed and remained faithful, maybe they could have contributed to the ministry. Maybe they could have. Knowingly or unknowingly, you know what they done? They closed the doors of that church of their attendance to that church. They closed the doors of that church. But the thing that really about the story was this right here. They weren't upset. because the community no longer had a church. They weren't upset because they lost souls that needed to be evangelized. They weren't upset about that. They weren't upset about the believers that needed the church and the fellowship that church would give. They weren't upset about that. They were not upset that they had neglected their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They weren't even upset about that. No. They were upset because that's what they were upset about. They were upset power of rebel. They were upset because all the projects that daddy and mommy, aunts and uncles have given money to down through the years have laid in a power of rubble. Either you can either agree with me or you don't have to. You know what? Pray God, this building here and the building of that church down there is nothing more than blocks and mortar, and that's all that it is. It is not the church. Do you understand that? Drift Run, the name on this building is not the church. The church is, look at yourself. You are the church of the living God. The only thing that makes this church holy, the only thing that makes it the way it should be, is the presence of God the Father, His Son Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and you and me. That's what makes this place what it is today. Amen? It's not this building. It is not this building. We get attached sometimes to things that, you know what, we should not get attached to. This church is the bride of Christ. That's what it is. And Jesus, we are the church, not this building. Something, if you are born again and are bought by the blood, you are the church of the living God this morning. You're it. That's where it's at. I'm sorry, but that's it. That's where Boyle's building will only be a building. If you ever stop loving and serving Jesus, this building will still only be a building. And you know what I'm talking about, the building, and I'm talking about the individual, any of them. In our scripture reading this morning, Hezekiah observed what had been neglected. If you look at verses 6 and 7, it says in verse 6, the first thing that was neglected was holiness was neglected. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. Holiness, and have forsaken Him. It goes on to tell us that the attendance was neglected when it said, and have turned away their faces from the house. I'll tell you something. There's a lot of churches today. And I'll get to that more here in a little bit. But 3,500 to 4,000 churches a year shut their doors. You don't think there isn't a lot of neglect in this country today? And that's just in this country. Folks, worship was neglected. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense. Offerings were neglected when they said, nor offered burnt offerings. And seriously lacking in many of these things. Can you say amen to that this morning? It is. Oh, there's some of them, you know what, that seem to have the attributes that I'm talking about. But what they are is merely rituals. You know what 2 Timothy 3:5 tells me? It says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There's a lot of churches out there that have a form of godliness, I'm sorry to say. But you know what? As Tony sung the song, where's our hands? Where's our feet? Whenever people really need us, where's it at? Because you know what? We have a form of godliness and we deny the power thereof. Why? That's why some churches that you don't see souls saved. That's why in some churches you don't see God moving in them sometimes, because they have a form of godliness. Yes, there are 3,500 to 4,000 churches that are shut each year. Yes, neglect. Neglect can cause some of the majority of those. When neglect comes, we lose the power. Whenever we start neglecting the thing, when neglect, the power to see souls saved. Whenever we start neglecting the things of God, we start seeing souls saved, to see people lifted up in time of need. We stop seeing all that whenever we neglect what God wants us to do. When holiness, you know, devotion, you know what? Who gets neglected? Jesus gets neglected. That's what happens. It isn't just church building. It's when Jesus gets neglected. Amen? Answer this question in your own heart this morning. You're sitting back. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to tell me. Are you half in or half that way? I mean, you know what? I'm not here to put anybody down. But you know what? It's just like half and half. It's a good bottle. Half cream, half whatever else it is. I don't know. You know what? Are you half in or half out this morning? Revelations 3:16 tells me this. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will spew thee out of my mouth. He don't want anything to do with you. He doesn't want anything to do with you if you're in that condition right now. You're worshiping, attending services, sacrificing, praying, and offering. Are you faithfully devoted to Jesus Christ? Or are you neglecting Him this morning? You know what I'm talking about. Don't go out in vain. Someone needs to hear this morning. Remember, neglect can kill the church in you. Each and every member has an impact on the church. Everyone in here this morning has an impact on the body that is called the church. The living, the blood of Christ is shed for you. Everybody in here has an impact. Is it your positive or negative? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Is it a positive or negative impact that you're having? The second thing you'd want you to notice this morning is this, folks. Listen. We must recognize what is happening and the seriousness of the situation. We have to recognize this. Look at verses 8 and 9. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons, our daughters, our wives are in captivity for this. Hezekiah was addressing the priests and the Levites. That's who he was talking to. You know what? Those were the religious leaders of the times. And I want to tell you something here this morning. Listen to me. What has let down the most in this country as far as the church world goes are the leaders of the churches. Amen? I'll be the first to admit that. They have let down. They don't know the severity of what they're doing. They cannot grasp it. You know what? Ezekiel 3:18 tells me this. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But the last part of this scares me to death. You know what? It said, but his blood shall be required at thine hands. You know what? You know why? There are times it probably seems like I preach awful hard. But I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me. I am scared not to preach the truth to you all here this morning. It scares me not to tell you, brothers and sisters, what God has put upon my heart to preach to you. It scares me. You can blame the problems of this country on the political leaders. You can blame the problems of the church world on the religious leaders. But when you and I refuse to take a stand that is right, you know what? Then you and I are just as guilty as they are. We are just as guilty as they are, folks. Just consider for a moment the attitudes and actions that permeate all through this society today. Think about it. Not only society in general, but some of the churches as well have just went right along with it. Same-sex marriage, divorce rates, crime is out of control, economic problems, pastors quitting and failing morally. Oh yeah, we see it all the time. Controversy and conflicts in the churches. Lack of compassion and evangelism. Hypocrisy of professing Christians. If we are going to renovate the church, if you're going to do that, folks, then we must recognize what is happening. There is sin in the camp, and folks, it's time to get it corrected. You remember the story of Joshua and Achan? You remember that story? You know, when they told him not to do something that they were supposed to do, and Achan went ahead and did it, and then tried to hide it? Oh, he hid it from the people, all right, but guess who he didn't hide it from? He didn't hide it from God. Exactly right. And you know what? Punishment came down upon the children because of what Achan did. There was sin in the camp, and they had to get it right. They were taken out, and the whole congregation stoned him. God will not be with a church or an individual unless they make it right with Him. Do you understand that? He will not. Lost people are dying and going to hell this morning, folks. Saved people are not being discipled the way that they should. You know what? A whole generation is coming up with a form of godliness, but denying the power of God therein. Whose fault's that? It's our fault for not standing up for what's right. Showing them that they need to stand on what God's Word says. The Holy Spirit is being grieved. The Son is being blasphemed. And you know what? The Father is being dishonored, and wrath is being ignited upon these people. We must realize what is happening. We must realize it. Once we recognize the problem, we must take steps to correct the problem. Am I right in saying that? I'm talking about the church world. I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about everyone that's in the sound of my voice here this morning. And that includes me. Amen? There's a lot riding on our relationship with God. There's a lot riding on it this morning. I want to tell you that. I'll tell you something else that we must do. We must restore what is missing in the church today. We must restore it. We must do that this morning. Hezekiah took steps to ensure that what didn't belong was taken out of the temple. He took steps to do that. Now it's time to restore what is missing in the churches today. This started with our relationship with God, if you look at verses 10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord of Israel that His fierce wrath may turn away from it. He's going to cry out to God and seek mercy. Listen, if there's something going on in your life this morning, and you know what? The place to start is to get on your knees and ask God for mercy in your life and to forgive you. To forgive you. Having to restore that joy in your heart. Having to come back and give you that peace and that understanding that only He can do. Listen, He said, I'm going to claim God's promise. And that's over in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 16. That's what He said. And you know what it says there? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will hear their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be perpetually. When it comes to restoring what is missing, we must start with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Where do you stand with Jesus this morning? Let me ask you that heartfeltly right now as I stand here. Where do you stand with Jesus this morning? We will never see revival in the church as a whole until the individuals get it right with Him. We wonder what's going on. We wonder what's going on in the church world today. Right there's what it is. We say we need revival. Well, unless the church world gets it right with Him, there will not be revival. He told us to purify themselves. I believe that God will honor the promises of that. Restoring what is missing involves our work for Him. It tells us in verses 11 and 12, My son, be not diligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense. We've got a work to do. We must do that work. We must do it. Do not neglect your duties any longer. Friends, if you've become neglected in what you're doing, listen to me. You're not letting me down. You're not letting the church down. You understand that? If you don't do what you're supposed to do, it's not me you're letting down. It's not the church per se you're letting down. You know what? It's our Lord and Savior who you're letting down. It's God the Father. It's Him. We have to understand that. You see, I didn't call you out from your sin. I didn't do that. Guess who did? God, when He sent His Son to the cross. He's the one who called you out. He's the one who saved your soul. The church didn't. Your mom or dad didn't call you out. He did. The Lord has called and chosen you to serve Him. That's what He's done. And praise God this morning. I want to tell you something. You know what? We have got to serve Him with everything that we have in us. If you have turned your back on Him and refused to obey, it's time to restore what is missing in your life. When the individual restores what is missing, I want to tell you something. Then and only then can he begin the renovation of the church. Then and then only can the renovation of the church begin. Look what happened in verses 15 and 16. And they gathered their burdens and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandments of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness. And they found in the temple of the Lord and into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad unto the brook of Kidron. Folks, America and the whole world needs revival. We need it. We need it. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. Drift Run Church needs it. We need it. as a church. The community here needs it. We need revival. Let's get together. Let's do that. You know what? Let's repair what is broken in your life and in remove what doesn't belong there. There's all things. You know, if you've got something going on in your life, remove it. Realize what has been neglected in your life. Realize it. Recognize what's happening and restore what is missing. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we saw in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then will He hear. Then will He hear from heaven and forgive us our sins and heal our land. It's in that order. You know, Jeff was talking about being in chronological order this morning. Right there it is. We can't get the horse before the cart. We've got to make sure that we're right in our own hearts and in our own mind, in our own soul. And we're right with Jesus. And then we can see better to bring revival and pray for revival in this land. We can do that. Amen. Amen. I'm done. If they come get a song.